Well, good evening, everybody. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a great pleasure and an honor to address you all this evening and talk a little bit about something that's been on my heart and mind for a while. As many of you probably know, I was recently in the hospital for a while and had a lot of time on my hands. No visitors allowed, and I was there for 5 days and then out for a few days and then back in for a complication for a few more days. So I had lots of time to think and pray and read and think about the things of God. And one of the things I was thinking about is that shortly before I moved out here from the East Coast, this ministry changed its name, and the name became Acts Now, which really blessed me a lot when I heard it, because that's really what I've wanted my whole Christian life, is to see Acts Now, the kind of power, the kind of signs, miracles, and wonders, and the kind of truly more than abundant life that the believers lived in, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave his life for. And while I was in the hospital, I was thinking, now, what's it going to take? What is it going to take to see Acts Now in our lifetime in San Diego or wherever we happen to be, but in our case, in San Diego, what is it going to take? And the thing that God put on my heart was real simple. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the key to Acts Now. You know, it's really wild how we're blessed to have the man who literally wrote the book on this subject about speaking in tongues. Not only wrote the book, but it's now been translated into Swahili and Japanese and what else?
Spanish.
So it's going out to the world, you know, explaining how simple it is to manifest lumbano. You heard that word in that song, lumbano, to bring into manifestation the power of God. So what enabled Paul to receive, to bring into manifestation the greatness of the revelation that he disclosed in the epistles? What enabled that? Again, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues much. I mean, he spoke in tonges much. I don't even think that word much probably does justice to just how much Paul spoke in tongues. In Corinthians, it says he spoke in tongues more than the whole Corinthian church put together. And it was by speaking in tongues that much that Paul built that inner man into a super strong inner man that enabled him not just to, you know, get revelation about the mystery, about things that had never been revealed before by God. He got that kind of revelation, but also to be able to manifest all the other eight manifestations. Revelation, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirits, healing people. I mean, the believing and the power of God was at such a fever pitch that people would get healed just if the shadow of an apostle fell on them. And what made that all available? In my mind, what I believe is that it all had to do with speaking in tongues, operating that manifestation as much as possible, which enables all those other manifestations to be operated with the greatness of the accuracy and the integrity and the power that God put into them. So, you know, of course, was a Pharisee. He sat at the feet of one of the greatest teachers of religious law at the time. He had a lot of sense knowledge, understanding of the Old Testament and the law, and he had a real heart for God, but did any of that really help him to get that kind of revelation and to see these signs, miracles, and wonders? No. Actually, he was having people killed, believers killed, went to Damascus to try to get a bunch of people arrested, believers arrested, and brought back from trial in Jerusalem. So the sense knowledge and the study that he did all those years, you know, eventually probably did him a lot of good, but not until he was born again and could operate those manifestations, yeah. Okay? So sense knowledge understanding is very limited, no matter how much we have. It's really the power of God in manifestation that enables revelation and healing and all these other things to take place. So when he received the Holy Spirit, he really was able to comprehend spiritual matters. Five senses wise, no matter how much five senses knowledge you have, the spiritual things are still foolishness to you because they can only be spiritually discerned. So when Paul did get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, he was able to receive that revelation and understand the greatness of what he had already studied five senses wise. And he had the ability to know and understand the depths of the spiritual reality of the new birth and all that was available through the gift of pneumahagion. Remember those words? Pneumahagion? Holy Spirit? Okay? That gift, with all its abilities, was only available by grace through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't work for it. No amount of study was going to get him there. Okay? It was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that made it available. No amount of effort or sincere belief. And Paul, you know, when he was Saul, was very sincere, had a great heart for God. But no amount of effort or sincere belief or service can attain it. But while the gift is by grace, the benefits of the gift are only available by work. We have to work. Paul had to work hard to speak in tongues as much as possible to develop the inner man and make it real strong so that he could operate the other eight manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Without speaking in tongues, he would not have been able to receive the abundance of revelation that he received, because he had to be able to operate word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. That's how he got the revelation concerning the mystery, concerning all these other things that he wrote of in the epistles. It was his disciplined work at speaking in tongues that made that available. Without the abundance of speaking in tongues, Acts now is simply not available. Acts then also would not have been available. Mm-hmm. And we would not have the great revelation contained in the Pauline epistles. Mm-hmm. If we really want Acts now, we must commit as a body to speak in tongues much, much more. Paul said he thanked God that he spoke in tongues more than the whole Corinthians church. How did he know that, by the way? How did he know that he spoke in tongues more than all these other people in the church combined?
God told him.
Revelation, exactly. God told him. And how was he able to get that kind of revelation? Because he was exercising that spirit. Okay? He got an abundance of revelation because he spoke in tongues much and built up the inner man real strong. He manifested all nine all the time. Now let me ask you, you think that all those miracles, signs, miracles, wonder that were happening in the first century church was because those churches had it all together? No. All kinds of wrong teaching. I mean, two-thirds of the epistles focus on reproof and correction of wrong doctrine. Even the manifestations being operated in fellowship, they had completely wrong and had to be corrected on. And yet they saw those signs, miracles, and wonders. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to understand everything perfectly. We just need to speak in tongues much and then boldly move out on what God, because he's able to talk to us through revelation, because we have a spiritual connection now. We need to just move out on that, and we will see those signs, miracles, and wonders. Look, it's great to know what the Greek word this means and what the Aramaic word this means, and have all this knowledge of God's word. I'm not putting that down one little bit. We need to know that. When I got born again at about 7 years old, the preacher says to me, "Oh, you're going to heaven, you know?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to heaven, but hopefully that's going to be in about 70 or more years from now. What about now? What's available now?" And you know what he told me? He didn't know. He didn't know what was available now. Yeah. How we could live a more than abundant life. What Jesus Christ gave his life for besides just eternal salvation. Okay? So I spent 20 or more years looking. And I went to this church and that church. Even did some time in a Buddhist monastery. And you know what? Every place I went, it had some truth in it, but also had error, okay? Error like he died on Friday, got up on Sunday morning, and that was 3 days and three nights, you know? I mean, stuff that I could look and see was error, and yet was being taught. And it wasn't until I got invited to a fellowship in Imperial Beach that I said, "Wow, this is it." And there was two things that grabbed my attention. The first was that the word was being taught with the accuracy and integrity and power that God put into it. Okay. And the second was the manifestations of the Holy Spirit being properly operated. Now, I've been speaking in tongues since I got born again. Didn't even know what it was. And I've been to some Pentecostal churches where they were, you know, totally out of order and kind of turned me off. But when I saw the manifestations, just like we heard a few minutes ago, being properly operated, what really got me a few minutes ago was how great that was, that it was prophecy, because Paul said, "Hey, as great as speaking in tongues is and as important as it is in the fellowship, you'd rather hear prophecy, because the only need for speaking tongues in a fellowship is as a sign to unbelievers. If everybody's mature and understanding God's word, what we need is prophecy, because that's something we can all understand and builds us up." Okay, so when I saw those manifestations being properly operated and the word being taught with accuracy and integrity, I immediately knew, "This is it. This is what I've been looking for my whole life." So, but again, we don't need to understand everything with our five senses. Thankfully, we have this ability just to speak in tongues. And what's speaking in tongues do? Builds you up in the inner man. It's perfect prayer, perfect praise. I know a lot of you probably still have that little card that says these are all the different things, and it gives you scripture references that speaking in tongues is good for. Believe it or not, even though I've been reading the Bible my whole life, I never actually saw that in God's word until it was taught to me. So there's a lot of things that speaking in tongues does for you. So Paul spoke in tongues much. He was able to manifest all nine all the time. Christ said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works. Now how? He said that just before he departed, right? He went to the Father. What did he do? He raised people from the dead. He healed, people with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, blind people. He cast out devil spirits. He did all these wonderful things. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Either we can or he was a liar, because he said everything he had done, we would do an even greater. Well, how? How was that available? How did he make that available? By going to the Father and having the Father send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I am here. So, Jesus Christ cast out devil spirits, walked on the water. Can we do those things? Absolutely. Did he lie?
No.
Did Jesus Christ lie when he said we were going to be able to do all those things? No. So how is it not available for us to do these things and even greater things? It is. But what's the key? Speaking in tongues, okay? What happened to the church after the first century? What changed? Nothing. Nothing has changed. As far as I can see in God's word, nothing has changed. They were waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. The speaking in tongues and the other eight manifestations were available on the day of Pentecost. They're still available. People getting healed by a shadow of an apostle crossing them was available in the first century. That's still available today. But what were they doing different than what we're doing now? And I believe a lot of it has to do with how much they were operating that manifestation of speaking in tongues. So, if those things aren't available, what good is being a Christian?
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, we got eternal salvation. That's a big deal. But what else? I mean, what about this more than abundant life here and now that Jesus Christ said that he came to make available? How are we supposed to be living now? Are we just supposed to be going through the motions? Where are the multitudes of people getting born again like they did on the day of Pentecost and throughout the first century in the book of Acts? Where's that? There's been no real growth in our fellowship in forever that I've seen. I'm sorry, I just got to be honest about that. What got people's attention in the first century that led them to getting saved and delivered and healed? It was the power of God as manifested by Paul and the other apostles. It was those signs, miracles, and wonders that grabbed those people's attention. It was those guys in that temple speaking in all those different languages that people, the crowd, knew they couldn't possibly be doing by their own five senses knowledge, okay? So I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of sick and tired of this powerless Christianity, all right? Something's got to change. I want to see Acts now in San Diego. I want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. I want to see people get healed, the dead raised back to life, people living the truly more than abundant life that my Lord and Savior died for. And I really want to see more of God's children being reconciled to him and being saved for all eternity. Those are the greater works that even Jesus Christ couldn't do while he was here. How do we make that happen? We got to get serious about committing ourselves to, as a body, to speak in tongues much, much more. So tonight, I'm asking for all of us to make a commitment to speak in tongues for at least a half an hour a day. Half an hour a day, 30 minutes. That's 1/48th of a day. Okay? So can we do that? Can we all make a commitment? And I don't care if you do it all in 30 minutes or you spread it out throughout the whole day, but I think, and I'm talking to myself now, I think I can find 30 minutes throughout my day to speak in tongues. And once we have that down, if we can do even more than that, then we need to do even more than that. And if we do that, I think we will see Acts now, okay? If you can do more, but let's all make a commitment for like the next 30 days to speak in tongues at least 30 minutes a day. There is, by the way, no such thing as speaking in tongues too much. Okay? If you want to see Acts now in San Diego or wherever you are in your lifetime as much as I do, then we all need to speak in tongues much, much more. God bless you. I love you. You are God's best. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the wonderful gift that you made available to each and every born-again believer, that Holy Spirit that resides within us, the ability to manifest supernatural power from on high through those nine manifestations, and that we will do that and we will walk out boldly and we will see Acts now in our lifetime. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.